Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. I'm your host, Linda, coming at you from a beautiful oceanside day. It is amazing, about 74 degrees, clear, sunny, small breeze from the ocean. Thank you so much for joining me, Ron, Rod, and Yo, and everyone else that's out there. We've got so much going on, I cannot even begin. I mean, not just the chat room and our good friend Hollis, who's got some problems. We must pray for him. Thank you for joining me, and we have got so much in the news. They just keep... It's like if whenever you go to those places where you the batting cage and the thing goes nuts and it throws balls at you and you're trying to swing at them. Yeah. And it's amazing. I mean, it's gone bonkers and it's on steroids. Well, that's how I feel. I mean, we've got so much stuff going on. We've got good old Susan Rice being appointed to. Oh, this is going to work out well. NSA position, you know, that lovely grid in Utah that's going to be collecting data. And then we have, what was her face? Kathleen Superbilious spouting off, oh, some people get to live and some people get to die. She's a real piece of work. And then we have, oh, none other than Cass Sunstein's wife, Samantha Power, being appointed to... The old position of Susan Rice, unbelievable, unbelievable. Okay, so now they're talking food. Okay, they're making me crazy. Anyway, I would like to go ahead and start on just to get back down to earth and a little spiritual so we can clear our heads and keep our hearts pure as best we can. And this is Romans, and this is chapter 13, and we've got verse 8 through 12. And it says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now it is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So that was my little spiritual interpretation there of that one, and something to get our hooks into. And thank you, Rod. And I wanted to go through what I've been reading and finding out about, because it's just amazing how we've got the IRS scandals. We've got even good old Rhino Paul Ryan speaking out against some schmuck that was blaming the conservatives for applying for a 501c4 or whatever. Because these statists, what they think is, they think that everything you have and everything I have and everything one earns, whether it's a wage or whatever, they think it belongs to them. Meaning the government. These are total parasitic pieces of garbage, and it's about time all of this stuff be exposed. And if they Big Sis wants to come get me, fine. I'm not shutting up. So here we go. I want to talk about why this is happening and what I've learned from it. And it's pretty crazy. I just want to share this with you because I'm reading Jekyll Island, so I'm going to give you a little bit of history on this. And what it says in the very first part of the book, it says there are seven discernible threads that are woven throughout the fabric of this study. That's G. Edward Griffin speaking. They represent the reasons for the abolition of the Federal Reserve System. When stated in their purest form, without embellishment or explanation, they sound absurd to the casual observer. It is the purpose of this book, however, to show that these statements are all too easy to substantiate. And he goes on, the Federal Reserve System should be abolished for the following reasons. It is incapable of accomplishing its stated objectives. It is a cartel operating against the public interest. It is the supreme instrument of usury. It generates our most unfair tax. It encourages war. It destabilizes the economy. It is an instrument of totalitarianism. Pretty well said, dude. Anyway, so it says, he continues, this is a story about limitless money and hidden global power. The good news is that it is as fascinating as any work of fiction could be, and this, I trust, will add both pleasure and excitement to the learning process. The bad news is that every detail of what follows is true. So he's done his homework, and he's substantiated everything. Also, I mean, like, there's footnotes everywhere in this book, just tons of it. So I'm going to go with this part. It says, and you guys probably remember all the bailouts, but you probably don't remember the ones of the 70s. This is an amazing story. And it in chapter 3, it says, protectors of the public. And it says, the bailout game, as applied in real life to Penn Central, Lockheed, New York City, Chrysler, Commonwealth Bank of Detroit, First Pennsylvania Bank, Continental Illinois, and beginning in 2008, literally all major banks, AIG, automobile companies, and even banks of other nations. They're talking food. That's all right. I'm starving to death. I'm trying to lose weight. It's pathetic. It's very pitiful because I have no vices. Oh, except I'm drinking wine today. I don't care. You have to have something. Okay. So this goes back to, it was Penn Central. It was the nation's largest railroad. This company had 96,000 employees, and it had a weekly payroll of $20 million. Anyway, this was 1970. They went bankrupt. So all of these, and let me go through quickly on this. Let's see. There's a whole ton of these little guys. It goes through Amtrak, let's see, it was 1973. So, defense, let me see what I got here. Okay. The Navy Department spoke of protecting the nation's defense resources. Congress, of course, could not callously ignore these pressing needs. It ordered a retroactive 3.5% pay raise for all union employees. It passed the Emergency Rail Services Act of 1970, authorizing $125 million in federal loan guarantees. Amtrak, that was 71 and 73, Amtrak and Conrail. Amtrak took over passenger services of Penn Central. It goes on and on. Lockheed, 1970. That corporation, nation's largest defense contractor, was also facing bankruptcy. And all of these companies, New York City, that's, well, not really a company, but I guess, Chrysler, 1978. Commonwealth Bank of Detroit, that was 1972. Talks about the FDIC. First Pennsylvania Bank, 1980. Continental Illinois, 1980. So this is... they had talking about the world's first electronic bank run, the final bailout package. It goes on and on. And then it goes, speaking of, if I can get that deal. Anyway, it says, nationalization becomes a reality. What the government funds, it controls. And what it controls, it owns. This point was made crystal clear when on April 1st, 2009, you're going to love this one. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner of the Council on Foreign Relations announced he was prepared to oust the CEO of any bank that received a bailout if he doesn't run the bank correctly, although Geithner was not planning to fire anyone. The purpose of his statement was to convince the public that the government was being conscientious and responsible with the handling of so much money. But the significance of his statement is that the Secretary of the Treasury now holds the power to oust bank CEOs without concern for the wishes of their boards of directors. So anyway, going on with this, what they do is it explains all of these bailouts come to the same conclusion. And they, of course, they lie and they come and say, well, we have to do this to save the public. Second reason to abolish the Federal Reserve. A sober evaluation of this record leads to the second reason for the abolishing of the Federal Reserve. Far from being a protector of the public, it is a cartel operating against the public interest. So in this one, it says the game called bailout is not a whimsical figment of the imagination. It is real. Here are some of the big games of the past and their final scores. In 1970, Penn Central Railroad became bankrupt. Banks lent the money, taken over board of directors, put it further in the hole, all the while extending bigger loans to cover the losses. Directors concealed reality from stockholders and made additional loans so the company could pay dividends to keep up a false front. Directors and their banks unloaded their stock at unrealistically high prices. When the truth became public, stockholders were left holding the empty bag. The bailout involved government subsidies to other banks to grant additional loans. When Congress was told that the collapse of Penn Central would be devastating to the public interest, it responded by granting $125 million in loan guarantees so banks would not be at risk. The railroad failed anyway, but the banks were covered. Penn Central was nationalized into Amtrak and continues to operate at a loss. Same with all the rest of these. It says all of the money was provided by the Federal Reserve acting as the lender of last resort. That was one of the purposes for which it had been designed. We must not forget the phrase lender of last resort means that the money is created out of nothing, resulting in the confiscation of wealth through inflation. And all of this stuff, when you say it's guaranteed by the on the backs of the taxpayers every single time. And I don't know if I think Congress is just stupid. I really, really do. I want to go into the news of the day. It says Amtrak is Joe Biden's favorite. Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, there's so much corruption and graft and greed and evil things. And if you guys want to weigh in on that, that would be 646-378-0321. Glad to have your calls. I want to go through some of these emails. Here's one in our area. It says, breaking Campo, California drug smuggler attacks Border Patrol agents, shots fired. So that was earlier today. My buddy Jeff just sent me this one. Luckily, no one was killed in the latest incident. More smuggling chaos from Obama's unsecured southern border. The Schumer-Rubio mass amnesty bill in the Senate for 12 to 20 million unknown foreign lawbreakers coming up for a vote next week would make our border regions even more dangerous. Absolutely. There's just a ton of stuff coming through here. I got to get into that one later. There's stuff. On the videos and stuff today on the Blaze and all over the internet, there was those people speaking in front of Congress. There were two ladies who did absolutely beautifully. One was a blonde. The other one had darker hair, who was completely phenomenal. I can't remember her name. But it says, about the Tea Party leader gives epic testimony before Congress. How is she not on the front of every paper in America? If this was any other movement, the testimony this week given by a local Tea Party leader targeted by the IRS would be everywhere. It was amazing. I hope you guys have checked this out. Another things we talked about earlier on the show when I first opened up, really, really bad idea. Cass Sunstein's wife tapped to replace UN Ambassador Susan Rice. Oh, my God. The fact that Samantha Power is Cass Sunstein's wife is reason enough for concern, but her views on Israel are even more troubling. So I'm going to go here. I can see where you're – oh, it says LAPD had a standoff with a mannequin. I didn't see that one. I've been going through the news all day, and I – been trying to find stuff. So if you guys want to weigh in on these news stories, please call in. Anyway, so it says where are we? Susan writes, she believes, oh, this is Samantha Power. She believes America should stop funding Israel. Well, I do too. Send money. Oh, but she wants to go to Palestine instead. So this is a biased thing from Glenn's website. It's just amazing. Baseless ties, Glenn. Yeah. Well, Rachel Maddow's an idiot. Paul Ryan slams Rep. McDermott. That guy's the one that blew me away. I mean, it was very difficult, according to the people who were speaking on some of the radio shows today, to keep quiet because they couldn't speak when he was talking through his, you know what, and it wasn't the correct orifice. I'm telling you, these people are absolutely out of control, completely out of control. Okay, I've got some callers, and I want to bring them up. I think I got Bill, and I know I've got Ron. So, hello, gentlemen.
Wow. Gentlemen.
Really?
There's
How you doing, Ron?
There's two
How
of you.
How you doing, Linda?
Hey.
I'm doing well, Bill. And Miss Linda, thank you for having us on.
Okay.
I just wanted to make a comment.
Go ahead.
About this. You know, it's not very often that you're going to hear me say what I'm about to say. But the Democrats who were calling BS, they've got mm-hmm. it right. They got it right. And I don't know, I don't remember who the guy was. I heard him on the radio today talking about there have been progressive Democrat groups, left-wing groups that have been targeted. You know, this is not something unique. It happens all the time. He's exactly correct. He's got
wow.
that right. And you know, the other night, when I got talking about the treasurers of the United States.
Okay.
It really posed the question to me, you know. So I did a little research. And, you know, Richard Nixon, go back and read about the Mexican lady that Richard Nixon appointed as the treasurer.
Okay.
She, you know, she was born in California. Her parents were immigrants. During the Depression, the government paid them to move back to Mexico.
Was this Treasury Secretary?
No, she was the treasurer.
Oh, okay.
Not the secretary. And
okay.
So after the Depression was over, her and her mother immigrated back to California. She worked two jobs, and she was making tortillas, and she started her own company, her own business.
Okay.
She became very successful. She started a bank.
Oh, my God.
For the immigrants. That became very successful. Nixon, wanting to repay a favor to the Latino community, appointed her as the treasurer of the United States. Do you know that the Democratic Party sent the damn Department of Immigration mm-hmm. to raid her bank and her
Oh, wow.
food business and blew it all up in the newspapers? By the way, they didn't find a damn thing wrong. She didn't have any illegals working
oh,
there.
God.
But nonetheless, they used the power and force of government
sure.
to try and diminish their opponents.
Right. Well, you know, okay, here's the thing. I don't care what side does it. It's wrong.
Right.
You know, that's the whole point.
Right.
And
I think the point that's getting lost on this whole, the news media is trying to make it a partisan issue. They're trying to keep that left-right paradigm going.
Oh, sure.
Rather than admit the obvious, that it doesn't matter what side you're on, it's the fact that government has these bureaucratic agencies that can target political opponents, presumed
sure.
or otherwise, and that is government that has too much power and authority.
Oh, and in fact, if it were up to me, every one of those alphabet agencies would be gone yesterday.
Well, now you're just crazy. You're just talking like a
I don't care. That's fine. You could label That's fine. Hey, believe me, I'm in good company because everybody who thinks like me has been labeled. How many times have they called Ron Paul crazy? Huh?
Well, next thing you're going to say is we shouldn't be involved in any of these foreign entanglements overseas with the Middle East. And,
like,
you know,
like,
people are going to accuse you of having a really crappy foreign policy.
You mean
the only foreign entanglement we should be involved in and should have been involved in the last 25 years is one with Mexico about quit pushing your people over here to steal from our people.
Well, that's part of it.
I think Mexico's got a legitimate beef. I mean, we did kind of destroy their economy.
Oh, yeah, with NAFTA.
Oh, no, long before NAFTA. I mean, this goes way back. I mean, you go in and you look at
We've done more than that, Ron. We went down there and destroyed their environment because our companies could go down there and dump chemical stuff that they couldn't dump here.
Well, that's because they're damn desperate for dollars.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Well, look, when you talk about the foreign entanglements, I know you were having a tongue-in-cheek moment there, but you mean like people like Jefferson and Washington hated that type of thing way back when? They didn't want to get involved, and I think the only reason that they had to deal with the Muslims because they were forced to. There was all kinds of craziness.
Let's be honest, the Muslims in that day were interfering with our commerce. They were attacking our shipping and conscripting
right.
our seamen. So, Jefferson said, look, we've tried paying them. That ain't working. How
right.
about we send the Marines down to have a little chat with them and see how they like that?
Yeah. Well,
that was foisted upon us. I don't blame Jefferson. I don't fault him for that at all. That's actually fulfilling one of the duties of the commander-in-chief, for God's sakes, unlike so many that have come after him.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
We have a civil war. When there's a civil war, that's between the people in the country. Stay the hell out of it.
Well, that was a mess, too. That was not anything to be proud of, and I think Lincoln is not a good guy, but... I'm getting through this book pretty quickly, and I'm going to order that in my next go round of books that I get, Ron. That the real Lincoln that's coming up. But when we're talking about this IRS scandal and all this craziness, what's going on? And I understand why the Tea Party people and the people who call themselves Republicans, I don't know why they would align themselves with any of these, both parties or the one party system, as we now know. But they're so frustrated. They're so, looking for a way to take this regime down because it's pretty messy. I mean, I think this is one of the, we can go back in time. I know Nixon was no angel, but look what these guys are doing. And it's not just O'Dummer, it's everybody around him. But I mean, this is not good. I don't see any, of course he's going to bring Samantha Power in. Of course he's got all these Marxist crazies and Kathleen Superbilious. I can't stand her. We talked about her yesterday. Oh, my God.
The reason that these people identify with Republicans, I believe they truly suffer from some form of Stockholm Syndrome.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. That's you must.
They
be
identify with their captors.
It's crazy, and they keep doing it. I see this all over my city. These people have wonderful, their hearts are in the right place. Sometimes their minds are okay, but I'm telling you, their heads aren't. They just don't get it. They haven't figured it out, and I do think only a handful of them do, because there's a lot of folks who have read this book I'm reading now, but there are others who absolutely will never get it, Ron. They are diehard Republicans. They think the banking system and the FDIC is just perfectly la-la land, and they will never get it. It's like, I can't, some of them I can't turn, I can't change, I can't, can't even speak to it. So I can only do so much, but I'm going to keep talking. We've got an anti-agenda 21, a huge one on the 20th. I got to go. It's a Thursday night. I'm going with bells on. I've got to get this my speeches together, because it's gonna be one of those Delphi meetings. I'll bet you the stakeholders in there and all this stuff, and they're gonna take our suggestions and put them in the round file before we even open our car doors to our cars to get out of there. I'm telling you. So I got to bring my buddies in. So it's crazy. They're trying to do all kinds of. You should see the wording in this thing from Sandag. It's in your face, Agenda 21, right down the line. Social equity. I'm telling you, my blood was boiling. I was like, oh, no. So I sent out an email blast. I says, come on, guys, come help me. This is Oceanside City Council. They're going to have an open forum. And it's probably going to be Delphi, but I don't care. We can stand and speak and shout and do whatever we have to do. Hand out our stuff. because this is crazy. We got to try to stop it, or at least put, you know, the kibosh on it for a minute. Got to do something. It's craziness what's going on. And now that I'm reading this book, I totally get what you guys were trying to say 2 years ago. I get it. I mean, it's just right there blatantly, and nobody cares. Nobody's doing anything. Of course, the Congress, so it's up to we the people. It's going to have to be. That's what I was trying to, like this World War III that's coming down the pike, Syria. Russia's ticked off. I was reading about Putin today on Facebook. He's not happy. He's mad at everybody, especially the, he's mad at the central banks and stuff. That's a new one. It's like he wants
to. Well, and he should be. And, my God. And we wonder. And you see, this is what I've been trying to say, and it's very difficult to tell people your government is directly responsible for much of the bullcrap that's being visited upon your government because of the interference that we've been involved in through the World Bank, the IMF, the United Nations.
Oh, God. It's horrible.
Are you kidding me? We have absolutely manipulated, at this point, the entire globe into poverty.
Well, yeah, and what they've done to everyone is they've painted ourselves into a box. It's like, you know what I'm saying? How the hell do you get out of this? And what Glenn was saying and I was saying yesterday, and I truly believe this, like the $17 trillion question, ladies and gentlemen, is who the hell's standing up for liberty? Nobody. It's not even on the map. And it better be, because the only ones that are going to be able to get, I think, the only ones getting us out of this is you and me and the rest of the Patriots. I don't know how we're going to do it. But I told my girlfriend the other day, she says, what are we going to do? How's this going to end? And I says, it's going to happen one of two ways. I says, either there's going to be a full-out good revolution that we win once and for all, or Christ is coming back. And I don't care which. I'll take either. She laughed.
Well, I was calling checkmate in 2007.
Mm. Wow.
When the Federal Reserve went to zero interest on overnight lending rate between banks. So that's it. That's game, set, and match, boys and girls.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
And all the guys I worked with are looking at, what the hell are you talking about? You'll see. Because you're absolutely right, they have painted themselves into a corner.
Right.
Once you get to that zero interest rate, there's only one outlet left. Monetizing debt, and they're doing
it
leaps and bounds.
Of course they are, and this is evil, because that evil Bernanke said he'd never do it, and then 2 days later he probably started or whatever.
Oh, hell, they were doing it when he said he would never do it.
Oh, God. You
know, the whole system is based on monetizing debt, but this is really monetizing debt in earnest.
Oh, it's horrible what's going on. I mean, and what they're doing is don't they see is this on purpose? This is what's mind-boggling. It's got to be on purpose to destroy everything and make it, one big giant Rwanda. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it is on purpose, but, so many of these guys in The Economist, they truly believe this. They've drank the Kool-Aid, and they believe this is all, it's doable. It's just mathematics. And
oh, God. Go ahead, Bill. Weigh in for us.
Well, it's like, to me, it's assumed mathematics. You assume too much out of your mathematics. They don't use basic total flat facts of mathematics. And, you're looking at our current debt is what? Oh, 16, almost 17 trillion. In 11 years, that debt will be over $35 trillion.
Well,
Monetizing the debt won't help when you have an out-of-control group whose greed and lust for power, they're going to want till they have all. They don't want anybody to have anything but them.
Well, I know, but what they're doing, when you look at it from the lending aspect and the Federal Reserve and these big banks, they're creating these paper, worthless pieces of paper out of thin air, and then I mean, the inflation, like you said, Ron, if the real true inflation ever hits, my God, it would be it would make the tornadoes in Oklahoma look like, a day in the park.
One of the parts of this that I don't think the American people fully grasp yet is they are creating loans. Okay, think of your dollar bills as checks.
Yep.
Those are directly the obligation of the American people.
Oh yeah. Well, every single thing they did with those bailouts from the 70s on forward, that was on the backs of the taxpayers. Who the hell do you think ponied up that money?
This is like having a credit card with no limit and giving it to your 17-year-old as they go off to college, your 18-year-old.
Yeah, and geez.
And no way to cut off the line of credit.
I know. It's nuts. It's worse than that to me. I mean, it's just, it's on warp steroids. Yeah, absolutely. And nobody understands this. This is what's amazing to me. You know, once you see it in its entirety, it really, like Bill says, he read this book quite a while back when you first mentioned it to us 2 or 3 years ago. He said, because I told him, I said, the first 3 chapters made my blood boil. He says, yeah, after that, then you'll be enraged. And I go, oh, great. This is kind of like Stalin's regime. It gets worse after the Ukraine. Wonderful.
Well, I recently
shared it with a young guy who's looking for direction. And it really opened his eyes to some things and has changed his point of view in many ways. And he's really starting to step out there. But the Creature from Jekyll Island should be recommended for college people. First year should have to read it.
Oh, it's astounding. And the way this one's put together with the nice large print, I mean, it's going to be easy to go through. He's laid it out so well that, like I said, the first 3 chapters I sailed through it within, you know, during commercials in a one night episode.
I love the Mandrake method.
I don't know if I've gotten that far, but I did get to the part.
Right in the very beginning. Now he may not talk about that in the book, but I know he does in his presentation on the CD.
He talks about the Mandrake method,
Mandrake the magician, and how they're creating money
in
the Isle of Phrygia. And
he also talks about, in this one, he talks about the Keynesian economics and that Keynes was very, very involved in all of this and the Fabian Socialist Society. I mean, he lays it out very well. I mean, it's like I'm going, oh, my God, why didn't I read this one first?
They're salesmen.
And then he talks about...
I recommend you read that and The History of the Rothschilds.
Oh, God. I think I'd be terrified. But I know I need to know.
See, when Ron first came into the site, Ron posted that. And I read the entire thing, and it took a while.
Oh, yeah. Did you throw up?
It was my prelude, and right after that I read, the Creature from Jekyll Island.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. It was like totally blew my mind from what I thought was the way things were done.
Yeah, it's astounding what I've learned just in the things I've read, and I know I have a long way to go. I have a lot more to learn. Man, I feel like kind of like a first grader. Now I've got all this stuff behind me. Yeah, and now I'm going to go on to the second, third, and fourth. I mean, yeah, it's fascinating. And like Frank Winkle used to say, he says, thank God for Glenn Beck making reading history sexy again. He used to crack me up every time he said that. But it's the truth. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's amazing. And the things that you can glean from it, and you can, the way you get to connect the dots, and then you see these idiots on TV, you know, who are the antithesis of good. They're like the Antichrist walking around. And it's clear as a bell. And you go, oh, I can point this guy out, and I don't care if there's an RD or what behind their name. It doesn't matter. Nobody understands that, Ron, and it's so frustrating.
I told the guy today, he said, Democrat or Republican? I said, gun or knife, which one?
Exactly. Oh, it does. Yeah, it's like it. I actually, once you see this as you should see it, and it's in its entirety, that the best you can. It's so clear. It's like, oh my gosh, you finally, you know, you've seen the light and you've come up for air out of the pool. It's just amazing.
Linda, I dare say the second light bulb has come on in the chandelier.
Oh, at least I hope I've got more than that. I mean. I know I'm not.
Well,
maybe...
but I mean, just saying, you know.
Yeah.
And now you understand why I say I can't drive home without looking at people walking down the sidewalk and thinking, zombie. I mean, seriously, because when you look at people and you realize they don't have the foggiest idea, not a single clue.
I know. I know. It's astounding. In fact, this happened. I think I sent it to everybody I could. I put it on Facebook, and I know Yola commented for me the other day, and it was Mark Dice, and he was down here on my pier 8 minutes from my house doing another one of his walk-bys with his phony petitions. And you got to hear this one. I know Bill may have seen it on Facebook. Yola
said, "Is
that
the Holocaust?"
Yes.
Oh, that was amazing. Robert would have loved it.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, he would have just come unglued. I don't know whether he would have laughed or cried or both, but, I mean, I was going, yeah, I mean, I've been down there many times. In fact, that's the top echelon of it. When you go downstairs, there's this whole amphitheater down there where we have our Stop Taxing Us Tea Party rallies all the time, and you know, with thousands
especially
of...
Like, I especially like the part where he said, yeah, you know, we're going to have a reenactment. They're going to... dig holes in the sand and see how many bodies we can bury.
And bonfires. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, when he did the bonfires, I thought, oh, my God. And you know, when you talk about looking out as you're driving home and looking at the people, well, I do that when something particularly upsets me, and I totally understand how willfully ignorant these people are, you know, and they just refuse. And I keep blogging about this all the time. I'll tell you what I wrote to this one idiot today on the sandag thing. My blood was boiling with this regional stuff and the social equity. And I'm in the supermarket, and I go, I look at all these people, and I go, I can tell by the looks on their faces and how absorbed they are in what they're going to go, you know, get their GMO foods in their little packages. It's amazing to me. And I go, I feel sorry for mankind. But what happened was there was like three or four people, because I was trying to organize myself and my friends to go on the this month on the 20th to this Delphi meeting that they're going to have in Oceanside on this sandag thing, which is all social equity, the corridors of the rail lines, and all this nonsense. Okay, these people are arguing about some nonsense, and I said to these people, I said, do you hear yourselves? I says, do you own a dictionary? Perhaps you should look up the word fascism. I let them have it. I said, this is Agenda 21 in your face. They are going to take you out of your car. Are you nuts? I posted it at the Union Tribune's comment section. I couldn't take it anymore. Oh, my God.
Last night on the news, and it's very, very rare that I watch the local news at all, they did a whole piece on Georgia's high-speed rail project.
Oh, God.
And our high-speed corridor. And I thought, you people are living in a freaking pipe dream.
They're crazy. Yeah, they want these corridors. This is Agenda 21. Bill knows this. I've studied this up one side and down the other. And... they're doing it everywhere. This has been going on, especially in the One Bay Area in San Francisco, up north in the Bay Area. All these kids. I met Heather Gass, who knows Rosie Curie personally. They go to these Delphi meetings all the time. I've seen them on YouTube. I met Heather. She had a four-hour seminar with our groups. We had like 100 people in the room. It was fantastic. She's an amazing champion against Agenda 21. She taught us about the Delphi stuff, all of it. I mean, she was... phenomenal. We took that and ran with it, and we had gone to several of these meetings. This is heinous what's happening, and they're doing it on steroids in California. And I told these people, I said, California is doomed. You guys are nuts. I said, I said, I can hardly wait to get out of here. What they're doing with Common Core, I have proof of it. With the teacher-created materials, it's on every page. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. And what they just came out with in California, they actually passed this into law along with SB 48, and that was the right out of Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto, the tenets of let's make perverse and homosexual sexual activities appear to be normal. Well, that's what they've done. They did this 2 years ago in California. They're teaching these kids K through 12 in all the schools that this transgender, lesbian, gay nonsense, you know, the Kevin Jennings of the world, that's crazy czar, of course.
Is this one of their ideas for world depopulation?
No, this is the communist group. This is, well, the Fabian socialists. I'm telling you, Glenn was right on this part. The Islamists,
well,
and the communists.
Pay attention, because the northern, yeah, the northern part of the eastern part of the country is trying to turn Muslim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Tennessee. Did you heard about that? They're trying to make Sharia law so you can't speak against Islam in any fashion in Tennessee. Isn't that special? And, you know, this is just...
It just blows me away because Tennessee is one of those really oddball states.
Wow.
Everybody talks about, you know, how great it is in Tennessee because they don't have a damn state income tax. But I'm here to tell you...
Neither does Nevada.
They're a bunch of screwballs up there.
Yeah, they got to be. Wow, it was, and then the latest one, now we have officially in California, for global warming, meatless Mondays for all the kids. They have done it.
I've got a question, and this is something that I was thinking about the other night. You know, you remember here not too long ago, one of these damn pro athletes came out as being a queer. I don't remember if he was a basketball player or football player or whatever the hell he was, but he's queer.
I don't know.
And everybody talked about how courageous and brave he was, right?
Right.
Well, I've got a question. And my question is, if homosexuality is normal and acceptable, then what the hell is so brave about admitting that you're a homosexual?
Right. Yeah, I know.
I mean, am I brave for admitting that I'm a heterosexual and I have a wife? Does that
you
make me
now.
A brave person?
You are.
Well,
in this climate.
I mean, I was brave to get married to my wife. That's a whole other story, but...
Oh, God bless her. She puts up with you.
She was infinitely brave, let me tell you.
Yeah.
She's still paying for it, poor thing.
But anyway, no, these people, I cannot believe what's happening. And they haven't passed it all the way yet because Jerry Brown hasn't signed it. I don't know which, whether it's the assembly or the state. They're coming after our gun rights. Huge here. They're trying to go against, after the ammunition. They're still trying to, they already got shot down by the Supreme Court already on trying to take our rights away from buying ammunition on the internet. They got shot down on that once. They're going to try to bring it back. They're trying to make you pay an annual fee to the state to be able to buy ammunition, get your fingerprints, and have a background check, and making it very, very difficult to buy ammunition in the state of California. So, well, all they're going to do is have reloaders everywhere, and they're going to have people drive into Yuma and to Nevada, down on Tropicana Boulevard where the gun shops are, and they're going to be buying stuff across the state lines. That's what's going to happen. Or, if they're smart and can get out, they're going to get the hell out of here. That's what's going to happen. It's amazing. This state is nuts. They don't need the Cascadia Fault to have a tsunami to take it down to the ocean. They're doing it all by themselves. My God, I've never seen anything like it. They don't harp. They're doing it. They're not. I can't. It's destruction. Destruction. Go ahead, Bill or Ron.
I'm just amusing myself with all the little emoticons there.
I can only get a couple of them. And welcome, Barbara, to the show, and guest 3551. Go ahead.
We continually watch. I mean, if you watch California, that's what they want for the rest of the country. And
well,
the rest
I know.
Of the country better be waking up and looking at California and saying, whoa, wait a minute, just what the hell are you doing?
This is why... All of my groups here, we do what we do because we're trying to wake people up and scream bloody murder. Like I said, when the 20th comes around and there's other meetings too, and I put the word out to every Tea Party I could out here and my anti-Agenda 21 crowd and told them about it. And I says, I can use all the help I can get, guys, because I'm going to be there. And hopefully Chris Meinson will come up because... Oh, you just give her 1 inch and she'll take a mile. She'll tell them. She'll say, I know this is Delphite. I know what you're doing. she don't play.
Well, you know, the whole meatless Mondays or whatever.
Oh my God.
It
well, that leaves
it.
The queers well, out, doesn't
right.
it?
The government has a right to tell you what you can and can't eat.
I mean, meatless Mondays, that leaves the homosexuals out entirely, doesn't it? I think that's discriminatory.
Oh, this is going to devolve real quick, but we've got 14 minutes left to laugh. That's good.
It just put your mind. Okay, now we're going to dictate what you can and can't eat.
This is for the children, K through 12. This is every school in California. This isn't just like San Diego or, you know, this is statewide. This is what's going on with Common Core here. This is what's going on with SB 48. That was a Senate bill, of course, signed into law a couple of years ago. And it's there. They have been brainwashing. I've got proof of it. My buddy Chris has it. She's been writing those books that I've talked about and sent to you guys and done all these things about the church infiltration, et cetera. And she carries this stuff around in her knapsack when she goes to these meetings and screams bloody murder. And she says, your kids are being taught this nonsense about global warming and all this green stuff. And how come you don't know about it? They know about it. Oh, she gets on them. And she don't let up. And I get so happy because she knows what she's talking about because she researches this stuff every day. And that's why I'm hoping she'll come to this meeting on the 20th. We got to stand up and speak. If we don't stand up and be Bonhoeffer and Martin Luther King and Thomas Jefferson, we're crazy. This is a golden opportunity.
They're working very strenuously to undermine the authority
of the parents. Well, of course, because the state owns your kids, like Melissa Heresy Ferry was talking about. Hello? That's what I call her, little biot. It's
now, Linda.
I know.
Life.
But I mean, I'm pretty mild compared to Mikey B because he gets crazy. He's real nuts. But I'm an adult; I can take it.
I'm not even going to go there since Mikey is not here to defend himself.
I know. No, I'm just kidding.
I love Mikey to death. But.
He's a riot. I hope he's going to. You know, I got to talk when he comes back on the air. He's going to hear it from me. I'm going to say, dude, don't you ever try that again? Because you got a covenant with the Lord. Don't you ever take yourself out of the Lamb's Book of Life again, or I'm going to come back there and get you myself.
Now, Barbara in the chat room said she thinks schools used to go meatless to save money, maybe one day a week, like Friday. Oh, well, that could be deemed to be, you know, well, they ought to have fish on Friday, you know. It'd be like Good Friday, and then it would be, my God, that would be, you know, breaching the First Amendment. Oh, my God.
Maybe if they weren't feeding a couple hundred thousand or more illegals.
Give them hell, Bill. You're right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, because California has $21 billion annually that the taxpayers fund for all of their welfare benefits.
I'm still confused because, you know, I'm like Frank Winkle. Well, show me all these starving children. Where in the hell are they at? Because, my God, with all the EBT and food stamp and WIC and government cheese and everything, why? There is no excuse on this earth for an American child to go hungry. There's just...
Well, and then it just flies in the face of Michelle Obama's little obesity problem, you know. It's like, hello? In fact, all the people from the real starving countries go, gee, I want to go to a place where people that are poor are pretty overweight. And they are.
There's nothing more hypocritical than a politician voting for some kind of health bill.
Yeah, well, okay. As far as the healthcare stuff, it's everything's starting to implode. I'm hearing lots of things about this.
Oh, I'm talking about food too.
Yeah.
You know, when they want to fight obesity. Well, what? With yourself.
Oh, GMOs, Monsanto. Yep.
You know what the ultimate answer is going to be?
Well.
Well, we're just going to have to nationalize it because, you know, these companies are just out of control and obscene profits. They don't care anything about the populace. And, I mean, seriously, I can see the argument being made for it.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Well, yeah. it's pushing where Monsanto is going to have control. You're not going to be able to get it unless Monsanto grew it.
Yeah, it's scary. They've already, look what they've done with the EPA and all these other evil entities that I absolutely hate. And all this, a lot of this now stems from the UN, because these guys have joined forces with this Agenda 21 crowd since 1992, and it has been marching for many, many years here. And I think when they formed the United Nations in 1945? And,
yep.
and just right after the Bretton Woods thing, and that was a mess, and I didn't get a chance to read that today. But this book is amazing. It tells you why and how in the timeline. It's just fascinating. But this EPA with the collection of rainwater, they're taxing it. They've got carbon tax in California. They've got so much stuff going on. The destruction of the Central Valley because of this EPA nonsense. It's crazy.
So,
they don't. They say it's illegal to grow your own food. Are you nuts?
Exactly.
Well, it has been.
Yeah, they can. You know what? They can just take it and they can put it in a place where it will do the most good. Because
it's also against the law for you to capture rainwater.
I heard that. Yeah.
Off of your home or your property. In fact, I've seen the bill and it was so damned ridiculous. And this one's already been to the Supreme Court once. They actually had put into law that a mud puddle in your frickin' driveway was considered a navigable waterway.
It's nuts.
Uh-huh.
It's crap.
That was in the original cap and trade bill. He's right.
Yep.
I tried
telling
crazy. People back then.
They
read
don't listen.
This crap.
I know. And Barbara asked, who does Monsanto think they are? Well, they're very wealthy, and they're, you know, you've got people like Bill Gates going in with them. Bill Gates is
Hillary
all for
Clinton.
Bill Gates is a good guy.
Clinton.
You got the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. You know, they're helping
please.
People. They're like Oprah.
Oh, please. Yeah. Uh-huh. The Bilderbergers
they're
and the Illuminati. You betcha.
On one hand, they're supporting depopulation, Monsanto,
oh, sure. They're eugenicists.
Making you get a shot. And on the other hand, they're trying to tell you they're helping you.
We know who Bill Gates' daddy was, so, I mean... Or did
okay.
you not know? From the
I
silence,
know.
I take it you didn't know. Well, Bill Gates' daddy was a higher up in the old Planned Parenthood, thank you.
mm-hmm.
You know that?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
oh
man,
God.
He like worships at Margaret Sanger's feet. Are you kidding
oh,
me?
Oh, lovely. Well, so does Hitlery, and so does the rest of these clowns. Too bad.
And let's
and Dunham didn't.
Let's not cut out the Bush family and
oh,
Poppy
I
Bush
know. Well, I
and
know.
Wow.
His father-in-law. George Herbert Walker.
Oh, that schmuck. Oy.
Yeah, from back in the day of Prescott, you know, when they were funding the Nazis.
Yeah, and H.W. was the one that first, on the national stage, in front of a microphone, talked about the New World Order, because they said, oh, it's okay to say it now. You know, it's like,
sure.
yeah.
it's okay to...
And he started it, then here come Clinton... And Hillary introduced it on the House floor with John Kerry. They couldn't get it passed. So Clinton went around them and signed a deal with the UN called Sustainable Development. They changed the name of it. And GW came in, and he started putting things in place and pushing other little places, setting things up. And then here comes Obama trying to finalize it.
Oh, yes.
Oh, but they're adversaries, Bill. They're from two different parties now.
You know, like I said, Ron,
it has nothing. And Barbara, it has nothing. To do with capitalism.
Uh-uh.
It has everything to do with trying to destroy
fascism.
Even the idea of capitalism.
Yep.
You're bastardizing capitalism.
Yep.
The whole thing is operated under a controlled market economy.
Yes.
You've got total
central
price
planning.
Controls. You know, I just read that article the other day about gas prices rising in the Northeast up in Washington State. And one gas company, a local gas station there, had dropped their price on gasoline 34 cents in 3 days, and the state was investigating because they have price controls in place.
Oh my
to
God.
To keep big corporations, big corporate gas, from dropping the bottom out of the price and pricing the other mom and pop stores out of business. It's all controlled. It's price controls. It's a controlled centrally
planning.
Planned economy, period.
Yes, it's Keynesian. It's huge. This is, Ron, when I read, what's his face? Hayek's book of Road to Serfdom, it was spelled out perfectly. It took me a long time to read it because it's kind of difficult to do because it was written at that time. 80 years ago, it could have been written last month. This is exactly what they're doing. And you go and you look,
you know, we've talked about the Chicago School of Economics and Friedman was a brilliant guy. But mm-hmm. Friedman completely ignored a few things.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that he truly, totally ignored is the fact that government, through the Federal Reserve or central banking,
yep.
has captured the market, period.
Oh, God.
You know, go
they
look up it. The look up, and this one started under Reagan, and that is the Presidential Working Group on Markets.
Yep.
That's code. That's a really nice, polite way of saying that the federal government, the president, has a group, one being the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, that will go in and prop up the stock market should there be a precipitous fall in the stock prices.
Wow.
So they run in and strategically buy
yep.
up stocks. Where do they get that money? How do they do that? Oh, wait, it's on Treasury bonds, and it's just conjured up out of thin freaking air.
Yes. And guess who gets to pick up the tab for the whole damn thing? The taxpayers.
Well, here's the thing that you're forgetting, though. Okay? Think about this for a minute. Go back to Seed and Company.
Right.
Okay? Seed and Company is a subsidiary corporation of the Federal Reserve Bank. And 85 to 90% of all stocks traded
mm-hmm.
legally...
Yep.
They hold title to. They actually hold the actual paper.
I know.
Okay? It is registered in the name of Seed and Company. So
right.
it only makes sense that when the price capitalization of their stocks begin to fall, they're going to run in and shore it up.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep up appearances. It's all about perception. This is the biggest scam
exactly.
that any
yeah.
society has ever bought.
You're right. I know.
It's insanity.
It is nuts. And when was the last time, when we've talked about these things before, which it also sticks in my craw. When was the last time you ever saw an actual bill of sale on anything? when did you see one on a house or anything?
I don't know about California, but
God.
I tell you about here in Georgia. And if you own property, if you have your title deed, go and take a look at it.
Okay.
And I know here in Georgia, and I know in Mississippi and a couple other places because I've looked. The title deed says something very curious. It says the herein mentioned property
yeah.
is conveyed
uh-huh.
for $10 and other good considerations. Now, in order for a binding legal contract to exist, there has to be an offer, there has to be acceptance,
mm-hmm.
and there has to be valuable consideration
right.
on both sides. $10.
Yep.
And other good considerations. Now, you're buying a $300,000 home. This, that the property was conveyed for $10 and other good considerations, it doesn't mention what those might be. I believe that the reason that is in there is your Constitution, and it is the Fourth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, I'm trying to remember, forgive me, that... in matters at equity, any dispute arising in the sum of $20 or greater shall preserve the right. It is the Sixth Amendment. In suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of a trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States.
Wow. I got about 30 seconds. We'll go into archives. That's cool.
So in other words, if the amount in controversy, it says right here on your title that, you know, it's $10 for other good considerations. So $10 is the amount in controversy. So you get to go before the judge for your foreclosure. There is no jury.
Wow. Unbelievable. It's crazy. Yeah. When you look at what's happening and you see what has happened for, 150 years, we don't own anything. And now they're trying to take the people's kids away. It's horrible. Yeah, we're going to go to our meeting tomorrow. Are you going to try to be there tomorrow, Ron, after Terry's show, or can you?
I will.
Okay. We got to save our site and our stuff. They're going to cut me off, but we can talk for a second off air. And I want to say thanks, Barbara and Yo and everyone here for tuning in and everyone that's listening right from the left coast. Tomorrow's Terry's deal. I got 10 seconds. They're going to cut me off. God bless. And
God bless.
I said, we can hang in there. We will do it. And tomorrow I'll see everybody on the site so we can get it done. Thank you.
God bless, hon. Thanks.
God bless. Bye.
God bless.